Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce. You know, it's always a great privilege. I want to honor the senior pastor of Every Nation Taipei, Pastor Bruce. Thank you for welcoming us here in your church. Ms. Terry, thank you so much for the warm welcome. The support of the family can really be felt. And I really admire the leadership, the things that you're doing here in the church. You really are a blessing to all of us here. Thank you for sharing this opportunity as well. Can we give a hand to Pastor Bruce? Before we start, I just wanted to, you know, before we continue on the further introductions, I would like to invite everyone to stand up as we read God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, please help me and turn to 1 Peter 3. We're going to read it all together if you're reading in ESV. But if you don't have any Bibles with you, there's a big Bible in front, so you don't need to worry. Okay, let's just read. It's in 1 Peter 3, and we're going to read from verse 8. To 17. Let's read it. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless those with you who are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. But for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with a gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Lord, we are thankful for the word that you're giving us today. Lord, thank you that you've had an opportunity, Lord God, to listen and to hear from you. Lord, I pray, God, that as we meditate your word, as we study it, would you change our hearts? Would you lead us to following you? And as we continue to follow you, Lord, would you transform our hearts, Lord, that would lead us to a confession of our faith? And we're going to do it with gentleness and respect because we reflect you today, your love to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, once again, good morning. And I'm so excited to preach the word of God today. But before I do so, let me just, you know, give you some more information about my family or where I came from. So we came from the Philippines, and we're just here for a few days because this church, Every Nation, is actually the church that sends out people. We're actually everywhere. And I'm excited because I'm gathered with Every Nation family. Everyone is, you know, represented here, all nations and all races. But, you know, we're here to establish Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And if you're first time here, you're welcome. I see some first time here. If there's anyone first timer here, all right, can we give a hand to them? You know, I've met some on coming here. You know, if you're either you're visiting or you decide to stay here, you are welcome. You have a family here in the church. And we're here. I'm just going to introduce myself to you. It's also my first time here in this church. Right? But last year, my wife led a team. And my wife, I'm Leovic. I'm one of the pastors in Victory Taft. And if you remember, Ina was here. That's my beautiful wife. We've been married for I need to get this right. Okay. We've been married for 12 years. And we love to travel. Actually, we love to go places. Last time we were in Indonesia, in Bali. We have a 10-year-old son. And of course, we visited Taiwan a few times already. In fact, we've Yeah, went to Lantern, and I think I remember this because he wrote there, I believe, Ain't No Luck is here. So everyone's, you know, lighting up lanterns, right? But my son, you know, she's very cheeky, and he put there, I ain't believe in luck. Because it's the blessing, right? So, yeah. And I have a team here with me. Pastor Bruce have introduced us. And for the past 4 days, we've been on the campus talking to the students and inviting them to ENC and to our activities. You know, I had a privilege to meet some of the local leaders here, like Dan, Jonathan. You know, Jonathan would not be recognized anymore because he's too burned up with his skin because of, you know, last day with Terry, the campus director. It's all fun meeting students across every nation. I mean, represented here. It's a melting pot of all races and nation. But when I went there, inviting them, you know, hoping for a chance to share the gospel, some of us experienced joy of seeing some students, but of course, others felt a sting of rejection. Now, it's not always, you know, like this. And as I was thinking about this, I realized this is the part of what it means to follow Jesus. Because sometimes people will listen, sometimes they won't. But there is a real question for all of us here today. What does it really take to stand as a disciple of Jesus? Not only when it's easy, but when it costs us something. Let's think about this. What does it really take? What does it really take to stand as a disciple of Jesus? And if we are honest, the harder question isn't rejection from the students or the rejection in general. It's our hesitation to stand up for Christ. We don't want to stand up at all because maybe we're too occupied with our own challenges in life, and that's, you know, Pastor Sam mentioned here that, yeah, sometimes we've been carried away with a lot of things and cares of this world. The Apostle Paul was writing to believers who were asking this very same thing. They were facing pressure. There's a lot of rejection and even suffering because of their faith. He wrote to Christians, they're so tempted to, you know, stay quiet in a culture that didn't understand them. In fact, discipleship for them was costly. Imagine living as one among the minorities in a pagan culture. You know, during that time, they were dominated by the Greeks and the Romans, and they are actually being forced to join the religious festivals, you know, idol worship, or even immoral practices that were actually very normal in the culture. And Peter encourages them today, and today, I hope that we would learn from it, and we would encourage everyone. And we will see how is discipleship being described back then, and hope that we could learn from it because how it will apply it today. You know, in 1 Peter 2:8-9, it said there, finally, all of you have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Notice that Peter uses the word finally. You know, before we go to this, we see that Peter had actually addressed the Christians about their identity in Christ. If you read 1 Peter, you're going to read there that you are chosen, that the Christians, the believers, you are chosen by God. Can you say that to your seatmate? You are chosen.
You're chosen.
Right? All right. You are sanctified. Can you say that? You are sanctified. And you are called by God. Maybe some of you are asking, really? Are you sanctified? Or I am being sanctified because of you. Right? As a matter of fact, Paul addressed Christians that their private life and public life is not separated. Their church life and their secular job is not separated. It's all part of their identity. And when you are a disciple, when you are a follower of Christ, and when you are a believer, you bring this identity wherever you are. And so when he used the word finally, it meant that he transitioned from the theological view of who God is and his identity, that your identity in Christ, and he said here that we want to know how to live this life. You know, he transitioned from this understanding of our identity in Christ to how this life be lived out. Do we know our identity in Christ? Do you know your identity in Christ? Hello? Right? When we went to NTU, you know, I'd say this again. You know, every race is represented there, every nationality. There's Japanese, there's Indonesian, there were Honduran, Brazilian, Poland, you know, everywhere. It's like all colors of people coming in, different identities. It's hard to engage. Good thing we have people who speaks Mandarin. We have Mandy, we have Jonathan, we have Dan. If someone speaks in Spanish, you know, where's Nicole? Nicole's there. You know, if someone speaks in Tagalog, it's easy for us. All right? But, you know, all of this, I can see that people would have different identity attached to them. But as a believer, I believe that we have only one identity. And that's Christ's identity. And I love this church because we are all represented with every culture and every nation, but we are all gathered here with one identity, which is Christ. In Christ's kingdom, there are no distinction between races. The stamp in our passports is Christian. What? Christian? Am I a Christian? Yeah. Maybe some of you. Is this a Christian church? Yes, you are here in a Christian church because we are believing in Christ, and that is God-given identity, and it is reflected in our minds and in our heart. And as we follow Christ, we are identifying with Christ, which makes us a disciple of Christ. How many among you here you could say proudly that you are disciples of Christ? Can you raise your hand? Wow, there's a lot here. All right? I believe we are. If you are sitting here today, you're hearing this message, you want to follow Christ, then you are a disciple of Christ. Can you say to that to your seatmate, you are a disciple of Christ? How does it feel? Assuring, right? Because that's our identity. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, our identity belongs now to Him. And notice that discipleship addresses the mind and the heart. And if you could see there, Peter said, all of you have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. I just want to highlight there, heart and mind. Because our heart and mind dictate how we live. What we believe shapes how we live. Unity, sympathy, brotherly love, tender hearts, humility, these are the visible signs of a heart shaped by Christ, an identity given to those who follow Him. The reality is, the goal of discipleship is Christ-likeness. Do you believe that? And that involves character. Who among you here want your character to be changed by God? Right? We all want. Yeah. Don't you know that there are three kinds of change that we apply to ourselves? One is reform. You know, how many among you have said a lot of, you know, New Year's resolution? You know, that this year on, I'm going to cut down on my rice. Right? That's a good New Year resolution, right? You're trying to reform and trying to change some rules and conducts of your life. But how many among you tried eating less of your rice, but you still can't help it at night, right? You break that rule because no one's looking, right? Only to find out the next day that you're gaining weight, right? You know, people would try to reform, adjust things in their life, but you know, reforming is just the outside sometimes. Some people would try to conform to change their life. When you conform is that you're trying to fit in a mold. You know, just like going to church, because everyone's going to church, my friend invites me here, and when you enter here, you know, everyone's worshiping and everyone's raising their hand, so I think it would be a plus points for God if I raise my hand today. You know, church is not like that. Some of you, maybe you feel like coming to church would help you fit in. But that's not the kind of change that God wants us to have. The kind of change that God wants us to have is not a reform, not to conform, but to be transformed. Transformation comes by the changing of our minds and by the changing of our hearts. And the goal of discipleship and the goal that Peter wants us to have is to follow Christ. As we follow Christ, we become like Christ. Turn to your seatmate and examine the face. Does this person look like Jesus? Maybe. With a beard and all the... No. We're not trying to change our appearance here. But Peter is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and by your heart. And that's why he addressed the people, that how we live our life shapes how we live. And that's why he admonished the people to what? To be sympathetic. You know, sympathy here is not just to feel sorry. Sympathy here means to do something that you feel what this person is feeling as well. That you are not just recognizing, but you're identifying with the pain. You know, when you talk about humility, it's not just, you know, being, you know, here in our culture, in Asian, especially Asians, we would like to, you know, give praises to those people just to appear that we are humble. But at the same time, you know, it's the humble brag. Now, you just want to post something. It's a humble brag, right? Yeah. You want to be humble, but you want to brag something. But that's not the kind of, you know, life that we would like to live. Peter have mentioned in verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And how many among you, us here, are guilty of this? That we could not control our tongue, right? But the thing here is that Peter wants us to follow Christ. Peter wants us to be transformed, not just what we say outside, but it starts from the heart and from the mind. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And I believe, and this is a comfort for all of us today, people who are here today and people who are hearing this message, that we are all want to seek righteousness, right, in our lives. And that's a good start. Do you want to do good for Christ? That's a start. Because as you pursue good, as you pursue righteousness, the Lord will change, and the Lord will transform you in your heart and in your mind. And he says there, now who see, in verse 13, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Now, Peter asks, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? You know, following Christ is not without a risk. But discipleship requires choosing him over the fear of people, over rejection, over suffering. You know, fear is natural. But discipleship calls us to honor Christ above all else, even when it's uncomfortable or unpopular. In verse 15, it says there, but in your hearts, honor Christ, right? As the Lord, always being prepared to make a defense of anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, how can we overcome fear? Right? You know, I have an acronym for fear. It's false expectation appearing real. And sometimes it's overwhelming. You know, sometimes the worries of this world, you know, if you want to get out, you know, and you're worrying, where will I get my allowance for the day? Or maybe to some of you, how would I survive through the month? Sometimes fear would overwhelm us, and sometimes it's paralyzing us, and sometimes it's also unsettling. But I believe we can overcome fear by honoring Christ. He says there, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. You know, in the Greek, he used the word, honoring Christ means hagiasate. It's not the Japanese word. It's Greek. I don't know. I cannot pronounce it right. But it means To sanctify. It means, what does it mean to be sanctified? Sanctifies means to be set apart. To set apart, to honor as holy. And in this context, it's a command for believers to treat Christ with reverence and acknowledge Him as sovereign in their hearts. And that's why we sang the song, "When I Say Your Name." No, just sample. I cannot beat Terry, right? When we say, "When I say your name," they're no longer lacking, right? We know that there is healing. But when we turn our hearts to the Lord, our fear decimates. It dissipates. When we turn our focus unto the Lord, rather than focusing on what confronts us, we're saying that your fear is being diminished in the light of who God is in our lives. Amen? And that's why every time we sing, every time we come here to worship, every time we meet together, we're saying, "Lord, I will prioritize you over my fear. I know tomorrow I'm going to lack something, but I'm going to pursue you today because I know when I do this, you will dissipate my fear. My fears will be dismissed." I'm not, you know, just trying to convince you just to have a change of mindset. But this is something that's happening in the spirit. When we try to focus on Christ and honoring Him, setting Him apart, and being in faith and responding into what God is trying to do in your life over something that you could not possibly do anything anyway.
So good.
Right? Because sometimes we tend to get up and, you know, go through the day, work, but at the end of the day, you feel tired and it's the same thing all over again. But when we honor Christ, the fear, and when we honor Christ and we revere Him, we're actually allowing God to sit in our hearts, and then we're just saying, "Fear, you go away." Because the place that this heart and this mind has is only for the Lord. And so when we pray, when we come to Him, Jesus is transforming us. And not only that, when God is revered, fear is revealed or relieved. Again, let me say that. When God is revered, fear is relieved. When we receive God, we hold Him in awe, we hold Him in honor, we worship, the fears of life are diminished or put in their proper place. You know, Jesus wants to sit in your life and He wants to rule your life. And if we are seeking righteousness and we want to do good, first and foremost, we need to come to Him. Be a follower of Christ. Second point about what Peter is trying to tell us. In 1 Peter 3:15, he said, "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." You know, discipleship entails choosing Christ over fear. That's courage. And I want to go back to that because I believe in my heart that I'm standing before a church that is full of courage. When I see, I'm sorry, Jonathan, I'm going to put you in the spot here, okay? He's an introvert. First time I met him, he's just going to be here for a few days, but we've invited him to engage students, and he told me and Terry that, you know, I'm an introvert, but he has been engaging students for the last 4 days, people that he doesn't know. You know, there's courage in that. And I hope you understand me correctly when I say courage. For the Christian, courage is never about being brave just to appear strong or fearless in itself. It's not courage for courage's sake. It's courage that flows from trusting and revering God. Courage is not about absence of fear, but the presence of God. Mm-hmm. In Filipino, we have this word called pogi. It's translated to the word handsome. And I think Mandy translated it in Chinese. I don't know. What's pogi in Chinese?
Shui.
Shui. Yeah. All right. He just taught me shui la. But yeah. But kidding aside, you know, pogi here means presence of God inside. All right. Can you turn to your seatmate and say, "You're pogi"? That means presence of God inside. You know, we don't pursue courage for courage's sake. We pursue God, and courage follows. When we want our fear to, you know, dissipate, we want our fear to be diminished,
You know, we just need to follow God, pursue Him, and let Him take over our lives, and the Lord will start working our hearts, and it starts working our mind. And then until all those anxieties, those fears, those depression, those mental illness, I believe, yes, it's a condition, it's a valid thing, it's, you know, there's medicine, but I also believe that God doesn't only work in our physical body, He also heals our soul and our mind. He also heals our spirit. You know, Peter encourages the Christians for the purpose. You know, the reason why Peter has to encourage Christians during that time, because Peter wants them to fulfill the purpose of God in their life. You know, there's a reason why we need to be courageous. There's a reason why we need to stand up. It's not only for the sake of being brave, you know, just to go through it. You know, there is a mission that God wants us all. And as a believer, He said to the church during the time, He said, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. You know, my point here is that discipleship leads us to share the hope that we have. The word hope here is not just about wishful thinking. It's the confidence in Christ's saving work. It's present and future. And our hope motivates courage, patience, and integrity, and it draws others towards Christ. You know, the reason why Peter is trying to give courage to the people, he's giving encouragement because, you know, he wants us all to confess the hope that they have. They want to share it because you guys have lived out. You've believed in Christ. You've already received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your future is already guaranteed. You know, you're going to face challenges in this world, but it's not the thing that you want to worry about. God wants you to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. That's why sometimes, of course, I get it. Sometimes we get tired. You know, sometimes we feel hurt. Sometimes there will be lots of frustrations. Sometimes there will be discouragement. But church, don't let that affect your relationship with God and the purpose of God that has placed in you. You still have hope in Christ. Amen?
Right.
There's a lot of things to do, in not in just the church, but the purpose of God in your life individually. You know, there's a path that God has set for all of us here today.
Right.
And we want all Christians, all believers standing up. Lord, I want to confess my faith outside, even if it's hard.
Yeah. Right.
When sometimes my boss is, you know, giving me a lot of stress, you know, when my boss is giving me a lot of work, I'm still going to go on and continue because my boss, my ultimate boss is Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that I have. Because as I continue to press on, I know the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit is within me, He will work things out. That's our hope, right? How many among you here, you're hopeful and that your hope is in Christ? If your hope is in Christ, then your belief should translate into the confession of your faith. And when you start to speak out, people will receive that, will see that faith in you, will see that hope in you. Sorry, Pastor, I don't know the gospel. I don't know how to share the gospel. That's why we're here for. That's why Pastor Bruce is here. That's why the staff here. That's why we're all here today, because we want to help you go through that walk. If you could not, you know, put into words those things, you know, the church will help you. Life groups, connect groups will help you. Are you part of a connect group? All right. How among you here are part of the connect group? Can you raise your hand? Yeah, you look at these people. You go to these people because they will tell you what's the faith that you have. And they will encourage you. Right? And we are all here to help. You know, the hope, discipleship leads us to share the hope that we have. But the question is, are you prepared? Because Peter said, prepare to make defense. Wow. Christians, we are to go through this life with many challenges. Church, let me tell you, being Christian is not an easy life. Would you agree with me?
Yep. Yeah.
Being a Christian in this day and age, when you go outside in NTU, they would ask you, some people would ask us, what's ENC? Is this a Christian? Is this a religion? No. Well, we get that. But it's not just about that. I hope that our conversation goes beyond the organization that we represent. My hope that in every conversation that we have goes beyond the hope that you have in Christ. That's why we want to engage people. That's why we want to converse with them. And sometimes, I get it, sometimes we are not prepared. You know, when the word defense means here, means apologia. It's where the word apologetics. It's a skill to explain the reason why we live what we believe. Who among us here is afraid of sharing the gospel? The gospel fuels the hope that we have. The message of the gospel is the confession of our hope. That when we share our life, our hope, maybe right now you cannot, you know, put it all together, but as you live in your relationship with Christ and you share your life with them, you know, you are the hope in the place that God has put you. You are the salt and light. That's why you are in this. That's why you're in the school, or maybe that's why in your corporate job, you are the salt and light there. So to wrap these things up, I want to go back to our first question. What does it really like to stand as a disciple of Jesus? The answer is Christ-like character. That entails us following God together. It's the courage to choose God over our fears. And of course, if you're lonely, it's scarier, right? Even more. But good thing, we have fellowship with believers, and you're not alone. And third, confession of the hope that we have in Christ. That as we continue to fish for men, as we continue to share our life to them, you know, just being kind to them, just encouraging them, whispering a prayer for them, giving them words of encouragement. It's a nudge of them. Hopefully, when we do this, they would recognize the Christ in all of us. And maybe you're here today, as I end, I'm going to wrap this. Maybe some of you here, you're in a place wherein, Lord, it's hard for me to make that step because I am a recipient of the hurt. I could not do anything here. I want to serve. I want to follow you. But it's just that now I'm hurting. No, this is a moment where we can come to the Lord. You know, people could not heal you. It's only Jesus who can. And maybe, you know, there's a lot of pressure going outside and you could not represent Christ and you feel sad about it, or sometimes you feel guilty about it. Don't be guilty about it, because we all go through those moments. But I would like to challenge you to go and take that step. Continue to follow Christ. He will send people that will help you all along. All you need to do is just to have a willing heart and a willing mind. That, Lord, I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. And if that's you today, and you want to say, Lord, I'm acknowledging here before you that I love you, but I couldn't. I just want to pray for you. Can we all stand? We'll just pray. Lord, thank you for the word that you have given us today. Lord, you know our situation. You know our fears. You know our doubts. You know our hesitation. But Lord, thank you because you are the leader of this church. And Lord, as I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today, Lord, would you remind them, Lord, that you are the hope that we need. And Lord, as we end this time today, Lord, I pray, God, for more believers, Lord God, to be part of the purpose that you've, you know, given to them. And I pray, God, that we would continue to pursue you as a church, that we would be united as a church, that we would have that brotherly love as a church, so that we could represent you to the outside world. And I pray, God, that as we being transformed, help us, give us courage that would lead to the confession of our faith, that we just don't need to be told on what to do, but we will do it because we have a relationship with you, that we have that God-given identity, sanctified, set apart for you. Bless this time that we have today. We honor you and we honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.